another day, another dollar makes you wonder where your money went. You can scream and you can holler.
Hi, this is Jack Spirko with another edition of the Survival Podcast. One man's view of a changing world and changing economic times dictated on a 50-mile commute on a daily basis. Got me this time, folks, in a morning commute, beautiful 83 degrees, and we've got a hurricane hitting South Texas, but it's not going to impact our weather in the least bit. And we actually, to tell you the truth, could use some rain here, so it's too bad. We're not going to get any rain about it. And fortunately, it looks like as hurricanes go, this one's going to be rather mild, a Category 1. That's going to hit an area where they're generally prepared. Hopefully, they won't get too much flooding. That's the biggest concern down there. Of course, the stray tornado is always a concern in Texas as well. So, wish those people well. Today, we're going to have a show that's going to be about teaching children lessons from gardening. Lessons that you plant in their heart and it lasts for the rest of their life, and it impacts the world after you're gone. And you've gone on to wherever it is that you believe you go after we leave here. Before I do that, though, I want to remind everyone about our listener appreciation contest. Again, by helping us grow the podcast, you can win an iPod Nano. I looked at the Feedburner stats today, right before I left the house, and we're close to 300. We were 200 a couple of days ago. So we have grown the audience by a third, and we're 30% to our goal of 1,000. Somebody's going to win that thing. It could be you. Trust me, I would say maybe 5% of the people who have opted into the mailing list to be notified of updates have also joined the contest. So make sure that you understand that the contest is one form and one page that tells you about it, the details, that you can win a Nano. Just because you're on my email distribution list doesn't mean you're in the contest. So if you haven't entered the contest, please do. Because if you're helping me, you know, I want to make sure that you get a chance to win, and I am coming up with some ideas to give out some stuff for some other people. But right now, my current trends, we are going to have no problem hitting our 1,000 listener mark before October 1st, which means there's going to be two Nanos given out. That's going to be, a pretty good odds of winning. Even if we had 1,000 members that joined the contest, you tip 2 in 1,000. It's better than the lottery, folks, and I guarantee it's not going to be that much. I'm figuring I'm going to get about 50 people entering this contest. So your odds of winning an Anna are going to be like 1 in 25. So I do believe we're going to be able to hit the 1,000 mark as well. So do what you can to help grow the podcast, and maybe it'll pay off for you. Now let's get on to today's subject, because I think this is going to be a really cool show. And I think it's going to help people start to see how important it is to reach out to our youth, because survivalism is not just about the individual surviving, it's about all of us surviving long term. And what we teach our next generation is what enables them to survive and to teach their next generation to survive. You know, I'm in my mid-30s now, and I look back at the time I spent with my grandfather, Andrew, in Pennsylvania, where he taught me about gardening and growing crops, and I realized that all of these things that I'm going to tell you about today that I learned from him, unfortunately, I had to go through my entire life for most of them to actually develop to a point where I understood them. And that's because as he was teaching me these things, he didn't explain them. He didn't say, this is what this means. This is the symbology behind it. That's because he came from a different generation. My grandfather was part of the World War II generation. He was old enough that he was even, you know, an old man, as they called him, in, you know, when he served in the Navy in World War II. He was in his mid-late 20s during World War II, where most of the guys around him were, you know, 18, 19, 21 years old. And so he had that gruffness that generation carried in a very good way, I mean that. But he also came from a generation where you didn't tell a kid that, hey, groceries don't come from the store. Somebody has to grow them or somebody has to produce them because we all knew that intrinsically. The problem is that you grow up and you leave that world and you go out into corporate America and a lot of those things are lost if they're not highly reinforced. So part of why I wanted to do this podcast is a lot of this stuff has been reawakening in me. I wanted to make sure that my listeners that are out there gardening with their kids aren't just teaching these lessons by what they do, but also by what they say. And my 10 lessons here and the 10 crops that go with them, they don't have to be, you know, stagnant, and it doesn't have to be exactly what you use, and you can change the crops, and you can even change the messages and change the lessons. Just want to kind of explain what some of this stuff has meant to me, and hopefully it'll be enriching for everybody, and we'll all kind of together start to realize what an impact we really have. So I've set this format up this way. I've got a list of 10 crops, and out of those 10 crops, there's 5 lessons that go with either 1 or 2 or 3 of each individual vegetable. And then I have 5 overall lessons that we'll conclude with. The first crop that I think is great to grow with young kids are like radishes and then the various greens. There's a reason to start with that. You have to realize that this is a lifelong lesson. And hopefully you're going to be in a situation where you're blessed enough to be able to work with a kid and do this stuff for a long time, for season after season after season. But in that first season, when they've never participated in this stuff before, when they've never actually looked at it, considered it, and been part of it before, never done any of the work, you want to keep them motivated. And the one thing about radishes is you drop that little radish seed in the ground, and, you know, it takes maybe 10 days to get a really nice sprout out of it. But 25 days from the time you drop that seed in the ground, you got radishes. So you get quick results. And that keeps kids motivated, and I think that's important. And the lesson I think that we learned from that, and the greens work pretty much the same way, the lesson we learned from that is what you do matters, and it often matters really fast. That even when you think something's like, you think of a long time, and for a kid, 25 days is a long time. For us, 25 days is, you know, 3 weeks and a weekend added on. I mean, it's just not that much time. It's not even a month. You know, that we don't even get a second mortgage payment out in 25 days. And it will be relatively quick for a child because they'll see it grow, they'll see it start to grow, they'll see how fast it happens, and your other crops are growing at the same time. But it'll show them that a lot of times you do something that has a consequence that's going to be very swift. It's going to happen very quickly. It's going to impact somebody very quickly, even if it doesn't look like it's going to do that. And I think it's a lesson we get from the quick-growing things, and we use those quick-growing things to keep these kiddos motivated as they go on and they continue to garden with us. The next thing I think you should plant with your kiddos is beans and peas, peas or beans, you know, your choice, bush beans, you know, whatever you want to grow, doesn't really matter. But there's a lesson in the bean as well. As we've talked about before, when you want to stay as organic as possible with your gardening, beans are your friend. Beans and other legumes put nitrogen into the soil. They help the other plants grow. You plant beans in a bed 1 year, and you move them to a new bed the next year, and then that same following year, you plant a crop where the beans were last year. And because of the nitrogen they put into the soil, the second crop grows better. And what we're teaching kids there is that plants can help each other. That plants exist in a symbiotic way, that they were designed that way, that they were created that way. That nature itself supports itself. And that man is here to be its steward, to work with it, to encourage it, and to get the most out of it. But we have to be mindful of what we do, because those relationships exist. And if they can exist in a little pile of dirt in the backyard, it really starts to ring home how big those relationships can be globally and all over the world. And it means that you need to think about what you do before you do something that impacts the environment. Moving on to the next crop and the next lesson. To me, that's things like tomatoes, summer squash, and peppers. I think it's a great thing for anybody to grow. Again, the good thing about these is even the peas and beans, these are all things that go relatively quickly and start producing relatively quickly, and you see a lot of growth out of them. So again, that keeps kids motivated through it all. But with especially tomatoes and summer squash, when you start to really harvest from those plants, man, if you plant half a dozen to a dozen tomato plants, you plant 4 or 5 bushes of zucchini, you end up with so much more than you need and you can use. And what we learn from tomatoes and squash and things like that is that we need to share with others, that we need to give to others. because the only way you get rid of all that extra zucchini and all those extra tomatoes is to give them away to other people. So you learn that when you work hard to produce something that makes a difference, that it doesn't just make a difference for you and your family, that it can make a difference for your neighbors. That's a heck of a lesson for a kid to learn. And it's so simple. And the reality is you could read them 100 stories about giving and sharing and watch TV shows about it and things like that. Can't make the impact one homegrown tomato handed from a 6-year-old to a neighbor. It's the only way you'll get that impact. And that's something that makes what we do when we grow food for ourselves and for our families magnified and matter even more. It teaches a lesson that there's just no other way to learn. Moving on, I think another great crop for our kids to learn with are things like potatoes, beets, and carrots. And, you know, any other vegetable that produces a root is a good vegetable for this lesson. And what we learn from that is that what you don't see matters. So you think about it, you plant a carrot, for instance. And it takes a while for a carrot to grow. They don't 25 days and you pull a carrot out, you got a little tiny twig. You know, and you got this little bushy green thing sticking out of the ground, and I don't know anybody that eats carrot greens. I guess you can eat beet greens. I like those. But, you know, carrot greens don't really eat potato plant. You don't really eat the potato plant. You know, these things grow under the ground. And they don't look that exciting to a child, and then toward the end of the season, you go out and you pull carrots, beets, maybe onions, whatever it is, out of the ground, and you realize there's this huge piece of food under the ground. That what you didn't see was the most important thing. That lesson has huge ramifications through life. It has lessons with, you know, when you talk to a person the first time and you only see their surface, what's inside, what's deep inside them, who they are matters. That when you evaluate an idea, a concept, it's the deeper thing that matters. That lesson goes over and over and over and ripples through life. Make sure you're using it. Make sure you're using this method to teach it to your kids. Or if you don't have your own kids, teach it to your nieces, your nephews, whoever you interact with that are children. It's amazing what that lesson means to people. And then another one I think is a great crop to grow with kids, and if you don't have a lot of space, you can grow some of the smaller varieties, is pumpkins. You know, pumpkins are fun at Halloween. And we can teach kids by growing pumpkins that you can create your own fun. That the land doesn't just produce food for you, it produces fun, it produces entertainment. And in a world of iPods, and I love my iPod, folks, and, you know, video games and TV sets and DVD players and movies and entertainment on demand and on and on and on, it's important to remember that we can create things for ourselves that are fun. So you take that pumpkin and you use it to make a jack-o'-lantern, or maybe you just draw on it in the fall. And you also are teaching them with that lesson, kind of an inner lesson, that you need to plan for your future, because you planted that pumpkin in the spring. And maybe you harvest it when there was a little bit of frost on it, going into Halloween. You know, pumpkins produce so much joy for kids. Kids love to carve pumpkins. They love to draw faces on them, what have you. If you also get seeds out of them, there's more than meets the eye there. It's kind of another lesson. And if you grow a few of them and you don't turn them all into carved jack-o'-lanterns anyway, they store rather well. And pumpkin's actually pretty good eating stuff, folks. If you grow a good food variety pumpkin, something you can mix with your beans, maybe you grow a little bit of corn, make some succotash, maybe do a Three Sisters garden as part of your pumpkin growing. And the thing about pumpkins and some of the other things like potatoes is they store. So that can teach you another lesson, that some of the things that you produce for yourself can continue to provide for you in the future. You know, seed saving is another great way to look at that. So those are kind of some crops that I think are fun to grow with kids, and some of the lessons that they directly teach a kid, and you know, how they can make an impact on their lives in the future, especially if you take the time, and don't try to throw all this stuff at a kid. This stuff is, you know, simple but deep. And if you try to throw that all on a kid, like, it's going to take all the fun out of it. But if you blend those lessons, and maybe just every time you go out to your garden, reinforce one of them every time you're out there in the garden, you know, the consequences matter. The what you don't see matters. Just here and there, and sprinkle it in throughout the fun part, those things really will stick with kids. They'll remember them, they'll retain them, and they'll matter for them for a long time. Now, kind of moving on to, you know, those crops and my ideas for specific lessons that they teach, that's great, but planning them, planning anything, there's five more big lessons that I think that we teach our kids that have a big impact on our lives. And these are also for kind of sprinkling in along the way, across the entire season, you know, across the entire growing season from planting to harvest. I mean, you got to remember, you're dealing with an idea here that if you live in a part of the country where you get frost, you're starting a lesson when the first frost comes, or first frost comes to an end. And you're concluding that lesson when the first frost returns. It's a long time for a kid. Just sprinkle this stuff in. But trust me, if you do it, it's going to last. The biggest lesson I think we learn from growing a garden, and I think adults that have never gardened and start gardening will start to learn this lesson too, is that food does not come from a store. I think people take food for granted, and they don't really understand where food comes from. And we don't want our kids growing up that way in this day and age, folks. One of the most dangerous things you can do is take something for granted that provides you life. Without food, we die. And when we take food for granted and we don't realize that somewhere else in the world somebody sweat, somebody worked, and somebody put in a lot of effort so that we could have that salad or you know, that piece of tomato on a cheeseburger, you know? And this lesson is very, very important, and it makes people more independent and more self-sufficient, but more grateful and more gracious. And I think if we start raising a generation of children that have a little bit more grace, we can make a pretty big impact on the world. And that's a great lesson to learn, and it's something that will never be driven home until you have dirt under your fingernails. So take those kids out there, plant those seeds in the ground, get some dirt on your hands, get some dirt on the kids' hands, and make that impact that, hey, you know, food doesn't come from the supermarket, it comes from somebody else, and it comes from the land somewhere else. The next lesson it teaches kids is there's life in a seed. That when you look at something that looks dark, it looks dead, it looks dry, that there could be a spark of life in there. It could be another human being. If you're an entrepreneur, it could be a business that's failing. If they are somebody that wants to make a difference in the cities, it could be an urban renewal project that somebody else has given up on. That there's life where there doesn't seem to be life. Because you take that little radish seed, you put it in the ground, it's so tiny, it's so dry, it looks like a grain of dirt. And 25 days later, there's food. You take that little tiny lettuce seed that looks like, it doesn't even look like a seed. It looks like a little hair. You know, you drop that in the ground and you think, what can come from that? And you end up with a huge plant. You know, it's the lesson of the mustard seed from the Bible. And it's a new way of looking at it. That from these tiny little things, life emerges and life continues. It's a huge lesson. You know, the third lesson to me that you get from this gardening stuff with these kids is that the earth provides for us. That we're not here to take from the earth. We're here to coexist with it. And when we do that, the earth actually provides for us. It gives us everything that we need. You can grow a garden on, you know, as little as an acre and produce really all the food that a family could really need if you had to. Probably not the most comfortable way to live, and it's not the way I plan to live. I don't plan to try to go 100%, but it could be done. That the earth is, it is our lifeline. It is our provider. You know, people that are very religious that came over to this country initially and looked at the Native Americans saw them as heathens because they basically worshipped the earth. But it wasn't so much of a worship. It was an intrinsic understanding because these people lived so close and so in touch with the earth that without the earth they couldn't live. That the earth was the great provider for them. That yes, it may have come from a great spirit somewhere, but itself, it was the gift. That's what we learn, and that's what we teach a child when we garden. When we take seed, we put it in the ground and we produce food with it. That the earth is a provider that needs to be protected. Another thing that we teach them is that hard work pays off. We're moving into a society where people don't really value hard work the way they used to. They look at hard work and go, that's kind of like, you know, that's where you end up if you're not smart enough. You know, out there on the side of the highway, you know, running a piece of equipment. Well, you know, blue-collar work like that, blue-collar construction work, building roads, building houses, things like that. They used to be prestigious jobs among the blue-collar community. That's what people wanted to do. You know, if you went out and got a good construction job, worked some overtime, you could make a good living. Where today, those wages have been driven down, and the status has been driven down, and people are doing work every day. It's not meaningless. Companies aren't out there generally paying people to do things that don't matter, but they don't really see the results of what they do, and they don't break a sweat at work. They sit behind a desk and type into a computer, or, you know, they stand in a retail store and tell people where to find something. They're not out, you know, in the world actually doing something physical that actually has a result that's tangible, they can see, they can feel, and they can put their hands on. And one thing about gardening is it is hard work. Even a little garden is a lot of work. That's why I think so many people stop doing it. Because it's less work to go down to the job and earn enough money to buy some carrots than it is to dig up the ground and grow some carrots. And as you continue to build and develop your garden and improve the soil and do things like that, it actually does get easier in time. But you still go out there and sweat. You still go out there and get a callus or two on your hands. And you know what? We have a generation of kids that could do with a callus or two on their hands. They could do with some sweat. They could deal with a little bit of hard work. But at the same time, to sit down at a dinner table with the entire family and eat a meal that's composed mainly of the results of their work. Again, you can read all these great, wonderful children's books to them. You can watch these wonderful stories that are available now on all these different cool cable networks for kids and all. You can read books about these lessons. You can tell a kid that hard work matters, hard work pays off. There's nothing that will teach them the way biting into a salad that they made themselves will. And they're looking across the table and watching the other family members enjoy that with them. It's an incredible lesson. And to me, I think a garden is the best teacher of that lesson. A garden and a good guiding adult that's willing to teach it as they go. Another thing that it teaches us, this is my final lesson, is that you can take care of yourself and you can take care of others. That you don't need to be dependent on the government, that somebody else doesn't always come in and solve your problem, and that somebody doesn't always come in and solve everybody else's problems. You know, I talked about, you know, the sharing vegetables, the, you know, tomatoes and zucchini. When I was a kid, and we'd get toward the end of the season, and we had the huge amount of the harvest come in because the plants would just go crazy right before the frost came. We would end up with a lot of vegetables, and my grandmother did a lot of canning and jarring, so we had food through the winter. And we made things like chow chow relish and pickles and things like that, but we'd still end up with way too much. And she put together 4 or 5 bags a day during the peak of the harvest. And say, you know, and she'd write family names, just their last names on them, you know, Boretsky, Busbition, things like that. And she would hand me a bag and say, okay, you know what to do with it. And I would walk up our little road and I would carry maybe 2 bags and I'd come back and get 2 more. And I ended up knowing everybody in my little small town because I went and visited their homes and brought them something from our garden. And a lot of times they would say, oh, well, wait, you know, do you guys have any rhubarb this year? No, we're not growing rhubarb. Would your grandmother want some? Yes, I think she would. And then they would go get me some, and they would exchange food with me. And that little town of Jonestown, Pennsylvania, we took care of each other there. People that you only saw a couple times a year, even though they lived, you know, just up the road, you'd wave to them as they drove up or down the road, but basically you didn't really talk to them. But at that time of year, you became community. And that's a lesson, again, that you really can't teach with a book or a TV show or a stuffed animal or anything like that. One kid handing one tomato to one old lady, that impacts them forever. So these are the things I think that we can learn and that we can teach. And remember always that you'll learn the most not when you're being taught, but when you're doing the teaching. Teaching is the most rewarding thing that you can do. And the fact that you can take lessons like this and make them part of your own individual preparedness planning and part of your own preparedness, overall plan and making sure that you have things to get through hard times if they come, reduce your costs, eat better quality food, take care of yourself, and at the same time, you can teach 10 lessons like we've just gone over with a child. It's really an amazing thing. when you sit there and you think about that, it just seems like everybody should have a garden, that we were meant to have gardens, that maybe there's a reason that the very story of creation of Adam and Eve started in a garden. And I'd like to sum up with this final thought. When you plant a seed with a child, you plant a seed in a child. So get out there, get involved, get some dirt on your hands, get some dirt on some little hands, make a difference, teach, and I hope you have a wonderful day, and I hope you're continuing to prepare to live the life you want to live, whether times get tough, or even if they don't. I'm Jazz Spirico. Thank you for tuning in to another episode of the Survival Podcast.
And you can holler, it really doesn't matter, 'cause it all gets spent.